This episode is brought to you by Odd Mo's Pizza in Canby. Handmade awesome pizza plus craft beer, cider, and wine delivered. Call them today at 503-266-8444.
Welcome to Now Hear This, Canby.
Your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans. And its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
And if it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Hey, friends, and welcome. Yet another episode of Now Hear This, Canby. I am your host, James Walton. Let's read the news. The Canby School District on Wednesday announced three finalists to replace current superintendent Trip Goodall, who is stepping down when his contract expires at the end of June. The three men are Alan Barber, the principal of Eagle Point Middle School in Jackson County, Dr. Aaron Downs, the assistant superintendent of secondary schools for the West Lynn Wilsonville School District, and Brett Heller, an assistant superintendent of teaching and learning at the West Ada School District in Meridian, Idaho. The district's board of directors has contracted with GR Recruiting, a nationwide educational hiring and consulting services firm, to lead the search for Canby's next superintendent. The district began advertising the position last month following a series of virtual community focus groups. Board members interviewed the most promising candidates in closed session on Tuesday and Wednesday of this week and winnowed the field down to their chosen finalists. The finalists will all be brought to Canby for in-person interviews on June 1st and 2nd and will also hold meet-and-greet sessions with specific stakeholder groups. The board will work with GR Recruiting to extend an offer to the successful finalist after June 2nd. Officials hope to finalize a contract with the selected candidate in time for a July 1st starting date. Goodall announced in March that he did not plan to seek a contract extension with Canby and would instead be leaving the district of approximately 4,700 students after 7 years of service. In a statement informing the community of his decision, he called his time with the Canby School District a highlight of his career and did not offer any explanation for stepping down. For photos and bios of the three finalists, visit this story on our website, canbyfirst.com. New cases of COVID-19 are falling precipitously in Clackamas County and across the state, but that's no longer the metric that everyone is watching. Earlier this month, Governor Kate Brown announced that future reopening decisions would be based not on case counts, but vaccination rates, with counties able to reopen businesses and event venues at the lowest risk level when 65% of its eligible population is immunized, while most restrictions would vanish altogether when the statewide rate for adults tops 70%. As of Wednesday, both marks are tantalizingly close. In Clackamas County, 60.6% of residents 16 and older have gotten their jabs, while the statewide rates, which is based on CDC data and includes only those who are 18 and older, is at 64.4%. On Tuesday, Brown announced five new counties would be moving to low risk, including Clackamas's larger Portland metro area neighbor to the north, Multnomah County, which has vaccinated 67% of eligible residents. Now, the science is clear, Brown said in a statement. Vaccines are very effective in keeping people safe from COVID-19, and they are the key to returning to normal life and lifting health and safety restrictions statewide. This disease remains dangerous for those in communities with high rates of unvaccinated individuals. That's why I'm encouraging all Oregonians to roll up your sleeves, take your shot, and get a chance to change your life. It's never been easier to get vaccinated, and you may just end up a winner. That last little bit was an allusion to the state's Take Your Shot Oregon campaign, and more on that later in the podcast. Brown also announced that businesses in low-risk counties will have the option of creating vaccinated sections starting Thursday, May 27th. Additional guidance for business owners is expected from the Oregon Health Authority later this week. When 70% of adults have received at least their first dose of the vaccine, Oregon will lift all risk-level health and safety restrictions, Brown said, with the exception of some mask and physical distancing guidelines based on CDC recommendations. For information about COVID-19 vaccination clinics and availability in Clackamas County, you can visit clackamas.us/coronavirus/vaccine. You can call 211 or email your questions to covidvaccine@clackamas.us. Although there are still some details yet to work out, the Canby School District plans to return to an in-person graduation ceremony next month to celebrate the remarkable achievements of the class of 2021. Only juniors, when the world was turned upside down by the coronavirus pandemic in March 2020, this class spent more than a calendar year grappling with various distance, online, and hybrid models of learning that their previous public school careers had done little to prepare them for. While Canby High School had no choice but to pivot to a virtual graduation ceremony for its class of 2020, falling case counts around the county and the state, coupled with the continued vaccine rollout, has made administrators optimistic that a return to normalcy will happen this June. There are basically two options in play right now, explained Principal Greg Denise. Our final plan will all be determined on the risk level at the time of graduation. If Clackamas County is in the low-risk category for COVID-19, either because the countywide vaccination rate surpasses 65% or weekly case counts drop below 50 new infections, the high school will host a single ceremony at 7 p.m. If the county fails to meet either scenario, then organizers will go with Plan B, where the class of 2021 will graduate in two cohorts, or groups, one at 6 p.m. and one at 8. In either case, graduation will take place on Friday, June 11th at Cougar Stadium. Tickets will be limited to two per senior. The ceremonies will be exactly the same, Denise said. Administrators will adjust and update plans accordingly as guidance surrounding schools and outdoor commencement ceremonies continues to change. One tradition that will also live on is the fireworks show that typically coincides with the 1812 overture to end the ceremony. Finally, students, staff, volunteers, and spectators will not be required to wear face coverings at the outdoor ceremony, district officials said in an email Monday. Until and unless further guidance is issued, all previous physical distancing and capacity restrictions still apply. Hoping to revive flagging demand for COVID-19 vaccinations, Governor Kate Brown on Friday announced that all Oregonians 18 and older who get immunized will have a shot at winning a $1 million prize. The so-called Take Your Shot Oregon campaign will feature other incentives as well. One additional winner in each of the state's 36 counties will be awarded a $10,000 cash prize, and Oregonians ages 12 to 17 will have a chance to win one of five $100,000 Oregon College Saving Plan scholarships. All Oregonians who have received at least one dose of one of the three COVID-19 vaccines authorized for emergency use, that's Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson, will be automatically entered to win, Brown said in the announcement on Friday. Vaccines are the best tool we have to protect ourselves and our loved ones from COVID-19 and our fastest way to end this pandemic, said Brown, who called the campaign a way to thank Oregonians for stepping up and keeping our communities safe. The campaign is a collaboration between the Oregon Health Authority, Oregon Lottery, and the Oregon State Treasury, and is funded by a $1.86 million in federal Coronavirus Relief Act dollars. OHA officials will draw names for winners in each category with the assistance of the Oregon Lottery. Officials say no personal identifying information will be shared. The drawing will be held June 28th, with names being announced the following week. Winners will be contacted and will have the opportunity to opt out or provide their consent to move forward in the prize process. The deadline to be registered for the drawing is midnight on June 27th. Current employees of the Oregon Lottery, the Governor, Treasury, and OHA will be ineligible to win, as will their family members. More information about the drawing is available here. See, this is a win-win, said State Treasurer Tobias Reed. Get vaccinated now to protect yourself and others and get the chance to fund your future through a scholarship that can be used for higher education and job training. Officials said games and rewards have shown effectiveness at engaging people who are willing to make responsible health choices, but who have not yet made it a priority. Allen said the prizes could spur the vaccine inconvenient or people who aren't refusing to get vaccinated but haven't made time for it to take that last step. The hope is to boost statewide rates by at least 20%, officials said. Other states have recently announced similar campaigns to boost vaccination rates, including Ohio, which saw a 28% increase in new vaccinations this weekend after its Vax-a-Million campaign was announced. Hairfest will not be happening again this summer, but the spirit of the popular annual tribute band festival very much still lives on as the event's organizers join forces for a jam-packed outdoor concert series hosted by the Wild Hair Saloon in Canby. The Wild Hair and JFL Presents have announced a series of summer concerts at the Canby Restaurant and Bar featuring some of the area's best-known tribute and cover bands. Though the series differs from Hairfest, with one or two act shows being presented over a series of months, rather than the two-day extravaganza featuring dozens of acts on multiple stages, it will feature many bands who have attended the annual Tribute Band Festival over the years. The setup of the Wild Hair Summer Concert Series will also more or less mirror the original footprint of Hairfest, which promoter Jason Fellman and Wild Hair owner Joan Monin launched with three bands in 2010. Hairfest, which has grown considerably since then, has seen its 10th iteration and planned debut at the Clackamas County Fairgrounds delayed two straight years due to COVID-19. Now, this was a great opportunity to get back to the roots of Hairfest, said Fellman. Rather than lament another festival postponement, we decided to utilize the original Hairfest venue layout and location to create a series that fans can enjoy all summer long. The Wild Hair Summer Concert Series begins Saturday, June 5th and runs through September. All shows start at 7 p.m. Ticket prices will be announced 2 weeks before each show to allow for changes required by Oregon Health Authority's event capacity and safety policies, and concerts will take place rain or shine. For the current dates and lineups, you can find this story on canbyfirst.com.
Hey Tyler, I was reading an article the other day and I saw that 53% of Americans say they value technology even more since the COVID outbreak.
Oh, yeah, I think I saw that article in Obvious News Weekly.
Okay, you don't have to be mean.
Seriously though, it is true. I know that I can't function anymore without all of my connected devices. And I heard that DirectLink saw a huge spike in internet traffic after the stay-at-home order began last year.
Yeah, it's a good thing DirectLink works hard to provide constant, reliable broadband service even during tough weather, peak use hours, and that big jump in increased demand.
Right, and we need access to a quality connection more than ever. We're working from home, the kids are still distance learning, and I've even had a few online doctor's appointments.
Yeah, not only that, but so many of our entertainment options have gone virtual. There's streaming TV shows and movies, Zoom game nights, and online gaming, so people really need reliable internet.
Wait. With all of that extra online activity going on, don't we have to worry about usage limits and high bills from using too much data?
Come on, Tyler. How many times have we been over this? DirectLink doesn't have data caps and doesn't charge extra fees for high usage. It says so right there on their website. Visit directlink.coop today to learn more. On the Canby Conversation today, we're excited to be welcoming back Todd Gary, formerly of Canby Fire. Hi, Todd.
Yes, formerly, still there or something.
I don't know. It's hard to get away sometimes.
Yes.
And also a longtime member of the board of directors for Canby Rodeo.
Yep.
We're here at the Canby Rodeo grounds, and we're excited, as always, to talk to you, Todd, but also excited about what we're going to be talking about, which is the return of the Canby Rodeo this year.
Yeah, let's talk rodeo. We are excited. So, you know, with COVID and everything, we unfortunately had to cancel the rodeo last year. Right. There was just no way that we could possibly do the rodeo. So we, as a committee...
We'll just clarify real quick. So Canby Rodeo, Clackamas County Fair, a lot of times people think they're the same. They are different boards. So they're related.
They're very related.
There's connective tissue.
Our rodeo committee works for the board of directors for the fair.
Gotcha. Okay.
So we're a committee underneath them.
Okay.
And we put on the rodeo. All the funding and everything, we work on getting sponsors. They work on funding, so we couldn't survive without each other.
Yeah.
So okay. is cool. Where we're at. It's cool. A great relationship.
Yeah, yeah. But this year, you know, as you're saying, last year had to cancel. Yep. Coming into this year, I know Fair, as far as we know, hasn't really made a decision yet. We're kind of seeing two different decision-making tracks.
Yeah.
So
we sat down in January, or we assigned a committee, and we called it the COVID committee.
Yeah.
In January. And we all know things have changed a lot.
Right.
But we sat down and decided, okay, with the matrix that we're given today, mm-hmm. that's coming from the state, could we put on a rodeo and be able to pay the bills?
Yeah.
Because that's a big part of any
January
of the rodeos.
Feels about a million years ago right now.
Yeah, it does. It truly does. But how do we pay the bills with the matrix that we're given?
Yes.
We were really excited when we got down to moderate there for a while. Yeah. And actually, we were really excited when they changed the matrix.
Yeah.
Because the matrix was a little bit confusing before. Yeah. A little bit. It was very confusing before.
Yeah.
Even Oregon Health at times, the people I would talk to were like, we're not sure. I go, okay.
I bet.
They changed the matrix, made it pretty easy to understand. And we got looking at, okay, how many people can we put in that arena? And if we put that many people in, will we break even?
Yeah.
And that's all we were looking at, is breaking even.
Yeah. And what are your expenses? Obviously, there's purses for the talent. You've got your stock.
Yeah, we have the stock. We have some contract acts like our announcer, the rodeo secretary, our funny man, all of those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
All of those cost money.
Okay.
The pickup men. We have to pay them.
Yeah.
So there is a lot of expenses that go into that.
Yeah.
We're upwards of $300,000 to put on this rodeo.
Okay.
We put on one of the best rodeos in the nation.
Yeah.
And we didn't want to take away from that rodeo.
Sure.
Well, one of the things we did, and we have worked with our stock contractors for a long time in our contract acts, is we went to them and said, is it possible to you to take a cut?
Yeah.
And they were very gracious. Mm. Very gracious.
That's amazing.
With taking a cut, because they want a rodeo too.
Yeah.
Cool. And something is better than nothing sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
So we went to them and they were willing to do that. We're still sitting at the point of, we want to make them whole.
Yeah.
That's our goal. And with the new matrix and the vaccinations and all those things, we might be able to make it there.
Yeah.
But again, we started working on this in January, and we've went through all the different matrixes and lots of phone calls and lots of watching what's going on.
Yeah.
Came to May's meeting and our committee made a decision that we're going to put on a rodeo.
Awesome.
We're going to do the rodeo. Yeah, absolutely. And with the way things are looking, there's a possibility that we could pack the stands.
Yeah.
There really could. We could get to that 70% for the vaccinations.
Right.
We could, with some of the stuff that actually just came out today, that they're going to have some low pods in different counties and stuff.
Yeah.
We could possibly be able to do some stuff that may mean vaccinations.
Yeah.
Don't know what that means for sure, but we're excited. We're excited that we could possibly make we could make some money for improvements on the grounds, and we could make our people whole.
Yeah.
That's huge for us.
Yeah.
That is really huge.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That May meeting, when you guys did decide, can you tell us a little bit about how that went? You probably had some people that were, wanting all the information, kind of feeling a little, on the fence, or, just wanting to make a good call for the community and for the rodeo.
And I think we've went along that for a long time. We want to do what's best for our sponsors.
Yeah.
And that's a huge part of that, is if we only have a quarter of the stands full, is that really what's right for our sponsors?
Right.
So we looked at all that, and those were concerns on everybody.
Sure.
We got an awesome committee.
Yeah.
And we talked it all out. We worked on it. And the last meeting in May, everybody was like, let's rodeo.
Yeah.
Let's put on a rodeo.
Awesome. I know you were really excited, Todd, about your idea for a drive-through rodeo. People didn't really pick up on that.
No drive-through rodeo. Yeah. Yeah. We couldn't
one event that you just can't do.
We couldn't
virtually
get the bulls out of the back of the truck. That was the problem.
That's the problem. Yeah. Trying to get them licensed. It's hard enough with the 16-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. okay, cool. Well, I want to hear more about this year. I'd love to hear, it's been over a year and a half, right? Since we've had an event here. Tell us about, obviously I can see it, but for our listeners, the kind of the state of things, how you've maintained, it's looking pretty good.
So it doesn't look terrible.
Yeah.
But we do pride ourselves in taking good care of this arena and making it one of the top arenas for one of the top rodeos.
Yeah, but it doesn't look like it's been out of the game for a long time. Like, it looks like we'd be pretty close to doing something here in a few weeks.
And one of the things was the grass that was put in there, that's to maintain the dirt.
Okay.
So the dirt stays
there
well.
So that was put in there on purpose.
Yep.
Okay.
We got a lot of painting to do this year that because we didn't paint last year. Mm-hmm. So we got a lot of painting to do. We got a lot of pressure washing. Yeah. The stands are dirty. They look bad. So it's just a lot of those things. Yeah. But again, we've got a great committee, great bunch of people. And if anybody wants to volunteer, get a hold of somebody on the rodeo committee.
Yeah.
And we're more than willing to take people to volunteer to give us a hand getting this thing ready.
Yeah.
We're meeting every Thursday night out here.
Okay.
And we're
work parties, right?
Work parties, yeah. every Thursday night.
Very cool.
We've had weed eaters, we've had blowers and pressure washers, and really starting to get there.
Yeah.
You
I
know?
Got some pygmy goats I can bring.
They
can weed whack.
Yeah.
Okay, so again, back to this year. So we are having the rodeo.
Yep.
What are the dates? And this is regardless of what happens with the fair.
Yeah, so yeah. The dates are the 17th through the 21st.
Okay.
Again, it's we're doing a rodeo. I'm not sure what the status of the fair is this year.
Yeah.
You know, if things keep going the way we're going and we get the vaccinations and we do all that, I think we could have a fair.
Yeah.
I think we could meet those matrix.
Yeah.
But we're full steam ahead on the rodeo. We're excited.
And they've got very similar kind of decision points that you were describing. Obviously, it's a different event, but as far as like how do we pay for what we need to pay for to make it work? How do we not do it sort of half-assed and make it not a good experience for sponsors or just for people or for the vendors? How do we are we able to have enough people to meet our costs? All those same kind of things in a different matrix, but
and they even concerns. Have more than that. I mean, you have schools involved because you have FFA.
True.
You have 4-H
contest.
Oregon OSU is the 4-H.
Yeah.
And so you have all those pieces too. We're lucky that we have
August.
Clackamas County. We submitted a plan to Clackamas County to make things to a COVID plan.
Yeah.
So our plan's approved through the county.
Yeah.
We have the PRCA, but it's Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association. Mm-hmm. They have their own set of COVID rules.
Yeah.
They have everything that they bring with them.
Yeah. I can't
and
believe
so
they get those horses to wear masks like that. That's pretty amazing. We're lucky that we're a late summer rodeo, aren't we?
We are. We're very lucky. Molalla canceled.
They canceled. Yeah, that was a bummer.
St. Paul's still going.
Yeah.
St. Paul. But one of the interesting things about that is when we talk about, we look at 25% capacity and 50% capacities.
Yeah.
And that's what we're looking at with the matrix that we have right now.
Yeah.
We hold 4,800 people. So when you take a quarter, that's not a lot of people in our arena.
Yeah.
You take half. And now that we don't have to do the social distancing, we can do half.
Yeah.
Before, we could get about 1,100 people in this arena with social distancing.
Yeah.
And that's with making pods of 10.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was very hard, and it was a lot of work to look at those. But St. Paul, their capacity is a lot more.
Right.
So them to come down to 50% or 25%, they can still pay the bills at that.
Yeah.
But none of us want to do that.
Yeah.
We want to do what's best for our sponsors, for the Cowboys, and we want to have that great rodeo that we've always had here.
Yeah, yeah. Are you thinking any other things as well? Obviously, we want to see these stands full. That would be amazing.
Yes.
But a lot of people have, and are planning on keeping kind of the more virtual element for people that either can't travel or would prefer to stay home to still be able to be connected to maybe still buy tickets and still raise some revenue that way.
So we are working with, and we can't sell the stream.
Okay.
We're working on doing some streaming. It's through the PRCA and it's through the Cowboy Channel.
Gotcha. Okay.
So we are looking at that streaming, which is really cool. And it's brought us to that because we never would have got there. But then at our rodeo, Camby's rodeo goes nationwide then.
Yeah, that's cool.
So that is huge.
Yeah.
That puts us on the map.
Yeah.
Not only in the Cowboys' eyes, because we're always been on the map in the Cowboys' eyes.
Right.
This is one of the greatest rodeos
right.
there is.
Yeah.
But it puts everybody. And we got other people that are going to see the great Camby rodeo and see the fans that come out to this rodeo and how awesome it is.
Yeah, very cool. Okay, well, I'd just love to hear a little bit more, Todd, about kind of how your obvious excitement about when you kind of envision here in a few months seeing people in these empty stands.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, like you mentioned, pressure washing them a little bit first.
Lots of work.
Yeah.
Lots of work.
But that's got to be exciting to just think about, being able to give that back to the community.
It is. You know, last year was tough, and we were doing Zoom meetings, and actually we had a meeting, and it's kind of funny, but we met out in the in the field out here.
Yeah.
And we had pickups, and we were like, we were a long ways away from each other, and we were all standing on the back of our tailgates because we just wanted to get together as a rodeo committee. And we had this huge circle of pickups that almost yelling across to talk to each other.
Right, right.
But
actually doesn't surprise me very much at all.
But that's our committee. I mean, we've got a committee that are
that
work together really strong and just want to put on the best rodeo that we can possibly put on. Yeah. I can't say enough about the fair board has been hard at this. Lori's been hard at this. Our rodeo committee has worked really hard to try to make this work.
Yeah. So tickets, are you selling those yet, or we're not sure quite yet because you need to know capacity?
Yeah, we need to know capacity. We have to see whether we're going to have a box on there that says, are you vaccinated or not vaccinated?
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of things in the works that have to get us there.
Yeah, and what that's going to come down from the county, state?
It's come down from the state.
Yeah.
Like I said, some stuff came out today. I haven't got a chance to read it all. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you have, but just there's some some pods in different counties that can take you to low rather than the entire county.
Okay.
So I think there's some interesting things that, you know, I think they're trying.
Yeah.
I think they're trying to get things open and trying to get us so we can enjoy our summer.
Yeah.
So.
This rodeo, just, you know, take us a little bit back in history a little bit, kind of what it means to you. You obviously have been part of the board for a long time. We talked about the board a little bit and how dedicated they are.
Yeah.
And that comes from somewhere, right? Tell us why this is so important to you and to the community.
You know, this rodeo is a tradition in Canby.
Yeah.
It's been a tradition for a long time. And there was some really, really great people that were before me on this committee.
Bob Traverso's name up there.
Absolutely.
The
and some people that I was honored to be able to work with on this committee like that. Their dedication to this rodeo was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable dedication. And I think that's in the heart.
That kind of humble beginnings, right? It's like, oh, let's just do a rodeo. It'd be something fun to add to the fair. And as you say, you know, people work so hard to make it this outstanding
event. It's one of the top in the nation.
Yeah.
And you know, we get the cowboys that come here. We'll get everybody that's in the top 20.
Yeah.
We'll come to Canby.
Yeah.
Comes to Canby to rodeo.
Yeah.
Everybody in the top 20. I was standing with the stock contractor one night, and we were standing out here at John Growney, and he goes, you know what? He goes, you don't go to the national finals and see a better rodeo than we've seen tonight.
Wow.
And I was like, wow,
yeah.
that really hit home.
Popular guy today, Todd.
Yeah. I said, that really hit home to me that this is something. And I think, like I said, I think this is in the heart of a lot of our rodeo committee guys and the people that came before us, that they were all worked hard to make this one of the best rodeos in the nation.
Awesome. How can folks stay tuned for updates? You've got our website,
social
media.
Yeah, we got Canby Rodeo has its own website.
Yeah.
So go to canbyrodeo.com.
Yep.
We'll have lots of updates on there.
Cool.
I'll start putting updates on the Facebook page.
Okay.
I haven't done anything in a while, but we'll start updating the Facebook page and just keep people, maybe we'll take some pictures like it is right now and then we'll get some pictures as we keep going.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool. Well, thanks, Todd, for being on the show.
Absolutely.
Thanks for all your work. Thanks for all you do for the community as well through your continued service.
Yeah, absolutely.
We were a little later in the interview today. I assume it had something to do with those duties. But I appreciate you and the board and all the folks that you mentioned at the fairgrounds for bringing this back. I know nothing is easy at this time of year with large events, and we really appreciate you guys doing whatever you can to do that.
Absolutely.
Joining us now is Donna Ellison of Ellison Team Homes, a firm serving all across the Portland metro area with three realtors based right here in Canby. Donna, can you tell us how Ellison Team Homes started?
I started in real estate. I grew up with my dad. He was a realtor.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a second generation broker, and I grew up with honestly with him on weekends. And I learned a lot eventually working with him for several years and then going out on my own. Our family moved to Canby a couple of years ago, but we really didn't know how it was going to go. And within the first probably 3 months of being here, we literally fell head over heels in love with this place. We love the community, the spirit here. The first Christmas at Waite Park, I was literally crying because everybody was walking around saying Merry Christmas and people were drinking hot chocolate and we got in a carriage ride with the horse and it was just too much. You just realize it's special here. Real estate's always been my passion. It is my professional love. I enjoy the people, the relationships. So much comes out of kind of the intensity that you spend with people. You're really up in their business for a period of time. And sometimes it's a couple months, sometimes it's a couple years, sometimes it's a lifetime.
Yeah.
I feel very blessed at this point to have people that have been with me for almost my entire career. Mm-hmm. Clients that have bought and sold maybe 2, 3, 4, or 5 homes. I have one client that's bought and sold 8 homes with me.
Yeah.
3 generations. It's a beautiful business. It makes for a very full life. Mm-hmm.
How can people find you?
How can they not, really? we have a website, www.ellisonteamhomes.com.
Well, thank you, Donna.
Thank you for having me.
Well, that sound means that we are obviously here at the Canby Music Store with owner Brian Haynes. Hi, Brian.
Hi. That was a Deering Banjo.
Deering Banjo you were playing for us. And any particular song, just riffing?
I was just riffing. That was made up on the spot. Wow. Can you believe it?
Sounded good. Sounded happy because we have some happy news. You guys are doing a little bit of a big party coming up here.
13th anniversary party. So we've only been in the new location for 9 months.
Right.
But I started Canby Music in June of 2008.
Also, one month of pandemic time counts as 300 months in normal time.
Yeah. And also, so June 2008 was about 3 months before the housing market crashed back then. So whenever I move into some place, the whole world goes to hell.
Don't move again. Please. Stay here forever. Cool. So it's coming out June 5th. Tell us what's going
to
be going on.
So June 5th, 11 to 2, so lunchtime, we're going to have live music outside on the side porch. And we're going to have barbecue, like hamburgers and hot dogs and whatnot. So everybody should come over. The food's free. And you can listen to live music. We're going to be doing prizes and giveaways. And there'll be sales in the store. And you can just come and meet us. We're actually going to have a bouncy house there as well.
You have to wait in line behind Brian. He always hogs it the whole time. No,
just yeah.
Maybe your kids, though.
We had a fancy house at our house, but it got destroyed.
Oh, okay.
It's gone now.
Yeah, they can be a little fragile.
But this one's a big commercial one, so it should hold up better than the one we had.
Yeah, awesome. I'm sure it will. Who's going to be headlining here?
Allie Welchel, which a lot of people know around here, will be singing, but there's going to be a lot of other people. I'll get up there and play. We'll just have kind of a hodgepodge of different people that we know that take lessons or just people from around town that can get up there.
You've been talking about doing... like specifically this, Brian, since this house was still like a gutted out old historical, like you had envisioned these concerts on the porch, people coming by, food outside, just having fun
finally happening.
Yeah. So how's that feel?
Well, it feels good. We got plugins out there, but we specifically put out there so we'd have enough power to do this. And, we will see how it goes. Hopefully the weather will be good. But I am really looking forward to it. We didn't do it last year for a multitude of reasons. But, I mean, also we didn't even get moved in here till September. And
right. It
was the fires happened and blah, blah, blah.
So. Yeah. Are you going to kind of see how it goes, see what the reaction is? And if people are like... we love this. Like, can we do this once a month or something like that? Can we do this on a more regular basis?
We've talked about making it more of a jam thing as well. Mm-hmm. And then maybe we would move it to an indoor location for the rest of the year and doing something like once a month where not only we play music, but anybody else that wants to come up and play can do it. It'd be a good family-friendly thing. There's a lot of people that don't have really an outlet you know, they're not like somebody that plays in a bar band or something like that. They just want to come out and play one or two songs.
Right.
And there's not really a lot of opportunity around here for that.
Right, for sure. Open mic nights and whatnot.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so June 5th, it's going to be here at the store. You want to give the address?
590 Northwest First Avenue.
And we're going...
Right next to the library. Or the post office. Which one is it?
Nope. It is the post office. It's sort of sandwiched in between the post office and what used to be Grand Central Station, now Neuro. Mm-hmm. 11 a.m. to 2.
11 a.m. to 2.
Okay, and that's a Saturday. You're going to have live music, prizes, giveaways, food. Sounds like a really fun time.
Yeah, and so we'll be here. I'll be here. Nathan will be here. We got a couple new people working at the store. Sky and Christian have both recently signed on here and are doing lessons and working around the store. And so come meet all of us and get a hamburger and listen to some live music and enjoy the outdoors.
Awesome. Sounds really fun. Anything else going on at the store that you want to tell people about while we've got you?
Well, we have Deering banjos in stock. Which... we only have a couple of them. A lot of these industries, you get a small shipment in and then you don't see anything for a long time because everybody's back ordered. And so get them while they're here.
Yeah, that has been, and I think a lot of, we were kind of chatting before we started recording, but a lot of people that aren't in the business like you are, maybe don't realize how this perfect storm emerged on the musical instrument industry, where there was really high demand. Everybody was shut in their homes.
Right.
A lot of people were like, okay, I'm finally going to learn guitar.
Record sales years.
But a lot of these factories couldn't operate at normal capacity.
Right. they kept selling out of their warehouse, but they didn't have anybody producing anything, so they completely sold out and have never been able to catch back up.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of, it's not only our industry, but it's a lot of industries.
Are people seeing like high prices, or just they're not available?
Both prices are going up a little bit here and there. I actually have a feeling that this is just the beginning of that. So with lumber, you know, guitars and stuff are made out of wood, right?
Right.
And so...
good point.
I have a feeling the musical industry...
A bunch of construction people listening to this just got headaches when you mention lumber prices.
Yeah. Yep, I'm glad I got this place done before all that.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
But yeah, I think it's just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to prices and stuff, unfortunately.
Yeah, cool. All right, Brian, well, thanks so much. Mm-hmm. Check out KMB Music on Facebook and Instagram and KMBMusic.com for details about instruments and services that they offer. Appreciate you, as always, for being on the show.
Thanks, Tyler.
All right, police beat for the weeks of March 2nd through the 29th. Basically all of March. We're doing all of March, everybody. And we're starting March off strong. The first day, nothing happened. At least according to police reports. On March 2nd, though, at 1 p.m., report of an unwanted person inside a sleeping bag on school grounds. The individual was trespassed from returning to the location. They maybe just went and found a more comfortable school to sleep in. On March 4th at 6:42 p.m., response to a report of a hit and run damage to a stop sign. We're not taking our anger out on parked cars anymore. It's the signs that tell us to stop. Officers located the suspect vehicle and cited the driver for DUI and failure to perform the duties of a driver, like stopping and not hitting signs. On March 5th at 1:02 p.m., report of the theft of a flag and flagpole from a residence. I mean, that sucks. At 10:43 p.m., officers responded to a complaint of a vehicle being operated recklessly. The driver was arrested for DUI, alcohol, and reckless driving. On March 6th at 10:36 a.m., a catalytic converter was reported stolen off of a business vehicle. On March 7th at 4:55 p.m., response to a report of a vehicle being driven recklessly. The vehicle was located and the driver was arrested for DUI, alcohol, and reckless driving. On March 9th at 11:46 a.m., a driver received a call from an unknown person claiming to be a law enforcement officer, advising them that there was an active warrant for their arrest. Police later confirmed the call was fraudulent and no such warrant existed. Because the police definitely don't warn you when they're coming for you. That kind of defeats the purpose. On March 11th at 10:11 p.m., report of a suspicious person walking through the drive-through lane. What? Man, that was hard to read. I'm sorry, I'm going to try that again. Walking through the drive-through lane of a fast food restaurant looking into cars. Man, that's creepy. The suspect was located and arrested on an outstanding warrant and for possession of methamphetamine. I don't think that they have drive-through drug places, ever since Dave's went down at least. On March 13th at 8 p.m., officers responded to a report of an unwanted individual at a business. The suspect was arrested for criminal trespassing. On March 14th at 8 p.m., report of a bicycle found. That's it. What the bicycle did to be found, we're still not sure. We'll keep the story going. We'll figure out the details of the found bicycle in Canby. On March 15th at 6:10 a.m., response to a non-injury traffic crash. That's always nice. One driver was cited for failing to yield when entering a highway. On March 16th at 3:05 p.m., report of fraud after an unknown person applied for unemployment compensation in another state using the victim's identity. On March 17th at 10:07 a.m., report of a person checking the door handles of unoccupied vehicles in a store parking lot. The suspect was located and cited for driving uninsured and possession of methamphetamine. They can always go try and find a drive-through place, but, you know, maybe not. On March 18th at 10:49 p.m., a driver was arrested for DUI, reckless driving, and attempting to elude police. On March 19th at 12:12 a.m., an uninsured vehicle was stopped and the driver was cited for possession of methamphetamine. The driver was also able to add insurance coverage to the vehicle at the time of the stop, because that's how insurance works. You should definitely buy it once you've been pulled over. At 4:04 p.m., report of a vehicle swerving and hitting a curb. Officers located and stopped the vehicle and arrested the driver for DUI and reckless driving. At 8 p.m., report of graffiti on an apartment complex fence and wall. 10:13 p.m., driver arrested for DUI, reckless driving, and possession of a controlled substance. And at 10:47 p.m., response to a report of a suspicious vehicle. The vehicle's owner was arrested for theft and DUI, and also owning a suspicious vehicle. We don't know what that vehicle's up to. I don't know what it's up to. On March 23rd at 9:20 p.m., report of fraudulent activity on a victim's credit card. On March 24th at 7:56 p.m., report of a vehicle's tires being slashed. It's a slasher film, but for tires. On March 25th at 2:16 p.m., report of hit and run crash. 3:12 p.m., report of a found bicycle. Back again for more. At 6:19 p.m., response to a report of an armed robbery at a pharmacy. When officers located the suspect vehicle, a pursuit ensued, which resulted in the suspect vehicle crashing in a wooded area. Three suspects were taken into custody and told to stop playing Grand Theft Auto so much. On March 27th at 7:38 a.m., report of a lost wallet. At 9:32, a speeding vehicle was stopped and the driver was arrested for DUI. On March 28th at 3:58 p.m., response to a report of theft in progress. The suspect was located nearby and arrested for theft and felon in possession of a restricted weapon and an outstanding Marion County warrant. Finally, on March 29th at 11:22, following a traffic stop, the driver was arrested on an outstanding Clackamas County warrant. Because they gonna get you! And they're not gonna call you and tell you that you have the warrant. They're just gonna stop you and they're just gonna arrest you.
Tyler, did you know that the Australian lyrebird can mimic any sound that it hears?
even chainsaws?
No, that's super interesting.
Did you know that a baby puffin is called a puffling?
Or
that baby sea otters can't swim, so their moms wrap them up in pieces of kelp until they learn how to paddle?
Wait, do you know any trivia that isn't like animal related?
Not really, but here's some stuff you may not know about the Wild Hare Saloon, where Camby goes to eat and have fun.
Okay.
The Wild Hare is one of Camby's longest running locally owned restaurants. Owners Joan and Darren Moden have been in business for 16 years.
That's cool.
Yep. Heck, you were just a baby back then. And they love to give back. They've been members of the Camby Chamber for that long, and they donate over $20,000 to local sports, FFA programs, and civic organizations each year.
Wow, I'm legitimately like caught off. That's cool.
Yeah. They also support more than 30 jobs in the community through their award-winning staff, some of them as young as 18. Hey, that's older than you are.
Dude, I'm 10 months younger than you.
With the days getting longer and the weather getting warmer, the Camby Wild Hare's expansive outdoor patio is the place to be. Furry friends, welcome.
Well, that sounds great. I'm going to go check them out just off of Highway 99E next to the Space Age in Camby at 1656 Beaver Creek Road in Oregon City, or on their website at thewildhairsaloon.net. Now Hear This Camby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Camby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website, olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Camby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Camby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe, and we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.